So tell me about the stories that you write. Why do you choose to write plays?
Well, I started writing plays because when I was taking a fiction class in college, we had to break into small groups for feedback, and everyone had always said that the strongest part of my writing was the dialogue. So it was like, well, plays are all dialogue, so yeah. And then I wrote a play for my senior thesis in college, and it was actually about women in fairy tales and things like that. And
Ooh.
yeah, so that was my first play, and then applied to grad school, and yeah, I'd sort of done, the fiction, the poetry, all of that, and then found my way into playwriting through theater.
Yeah. Are
So
you
yeah.
still, are you, do you feel really connected still to poetry and fiction because you started that way? Or?
Poetry, I think more so than fiction, but yeah, I feel like the play I did as my thesis was in verse, but other than that, I haven't really done a lot with poetry, but I sort of feel like the way the rhythm of the language works when you're writing dialogue, it kind of having that poetry background sort of lends itself to that. So just hearing the rhythms of everything and the speech and the, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So which writers do you take inspiration from?
Ooh. Let's see. It's cheesy and cliche, but I do love Shakespeare. Everyone says that. I got really into Brecht in college. Trying to think like modern. Really liked Carol Churchill, but I've only read a couple and I haven't gotten to like see any live, but I'm gonna think of all of them after we're done talking. I'm gonna be embarrassed.
So what about, I don't know, what about Shakespeare and Brecht interest you?
Shakespeare, I love the language, basically, and like just yeah, just a lot of the sound and the rhythm and all of that, and just the fact that the stories are so old, but they're like timeless, and you can set it in basically any time period, and it works somehow, and I think it's really cool. Brecht was sort of my first, not my first, but like my introduction to theater that like wasn't straight naturalism. You know, it's like there was like weird things, and it was sort of like pointing out that like this is a show that you're watching, and it was not meant to look a little window to these people's world. It was like obviously a construction. I liked that. And also Beckett. Beckett's fun. And Beckett, just because I love the like the different worlds and the just I don't know. Like I'll see or read one of his and I'm like, I wish I could do that, but I can't. I love what's his name? Eugene O'Neill too.
Yeah. Any reason why?
So yeah. Everything. I read Long Day's Journey and Tonight in high school, and it like I just loved it. I loved like the family because it seemed very true to life, and I know it's like based on his own family. And then in college, saw some of his like early stuff that was more expressionism. And that was really cool because like I was still trying to figure out my style in college when I first started writing plays, and it was cool to see how he sort of started with the experiment and then moved into sort of this like naturalism or like slightly heightened naturalism in some of them. So I liked that. Yeah.
Do you find, I mean, I really haven't done this, but have you found through reading playwrights' works sort of over the years that their voice changes?
I've seen it, like, definitely with O'Neill, mm-hmm. because there's, like, a huge difference with, like, the Hairy Ape and then, like, Long Day's Journey and Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Brecht a little, like, I think it was called The Elephant Calf, and that's one of his early one-acts, and that mm-hmm. one, you could see his sort of, like, maturation as you get to Mother Courage and, like, those plays that he's more well-known for. And I think even Shakespeare, you can see, like, from the early works, a sort of growth towards, like, Macbeth and Hamlet and those ones that are the big ones.
Yeah.
Other ones, it's harder to tell. But, yeah, I've noticed it with a few. You can probably see it in, like, everything I've written, too, because my old stuff is like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Do you think women writers tell different stories than men writers?
Ooh. In a way, yes. I mean, I think there's, like, stories that are just, like, universal, but I also think that there's a different perspective. Like, you, even if you're telling, like, the same story, mm-hmm. it will be just a different experience. And the same thing with, like, you know, minority writers or, like, the LGBT writers. And I just feel like even if you're writing, like, if you took a bunch of different people and had them each write, say, like, a family play,
yeah.
it would turn out, like, vastly different because of their experiences. So.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It's, like, it's the same situation. Well, maybe it's a different situation, but I guess just a different lens looking in.
Yeah, right. That's a good way of putting it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Which writers today do you think are successfully representing gender on stage? I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Gender? I gotta think. I know a lot of my friends who are writers really, like, try to make that not, like, you know, like, the focus. Like, it's not like, oh, this is my, like, women play, but it's, you know, like...
Yeah. It's, like, whatever, I guess, hits you about if you saw a play and you just sort of thought, wow, like, this...
Yeah.
It just really worked, you know? If there's anything that really has struck you, I guess.
A lot of what I've seen lately, too, has been, like, tiny local shows, and I'm embarrassed for not seeing, like, any of the big, like, national shows. That makes me mad.
No, but is there anything in the local show, I guess, that you...
local scenes. I thought that, she might be someone you're interviewing, but, Kirsten Greenidge did Luck of the Irish, and I loved I loved, like, all of the characters, but one of the women in that play was just, like, totally out for what she wanted and had no trouble doing whatever she could to try to make that happen. And it was sort of one of those things where every scene where she was on the stage, you sort of felt like anything could happen at any moment. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. And it wasn't, like, a play that focused on, like, gender issues at all, but that character just came across as this, like, firecracker, and you were just waiting for her to go off at any moment.
Huh, that's interesting. So did she just hold a lot of the power in the scene?
She sort of wanted to. And, because it was this play about, set in maybe the 50s, maybe? And, it was a practice back then where, like, a black family would get a white family to sign the mortgage on their house in their name so that they could buy the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so this white family had done that, and I forget why, but for some reason the white woman got it in her head that the house was still theirs. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the black couple's children grew up, she decided, oh, now I'm going to go take back the house that is really mine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she was kind of a psycho and crazy, but it was, like, she wasn't just, like, this stereotypical, like, villainous woman either, because you saw that, like, her whole life, she had grown up, like, poor and was in this huge family and had nothing and, you know, never had the money to, like, buy this nice house herself. And mm-hmm. you saw why she was crazy, but she was also completely crazy. So, I don't know, I really liked that, because it wasn't, it didn't take, like, the easy way out with any of the characters.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it sounds like she was a very, you know, she was complex. It wasn't like she was crazy to be crazy. She was.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That actually brings me into my next question. How would you define a strong woman character? Is it important for you to write strong woman characters? If so, why? If not, that's okay too.
I'm better at answering this one because I don't have to think of examples. Well, yeah, because I'm bad at off the top of my head, and then I'm going to come back like half an hour later and be like, I should have said this. I was actually just reading an article right before you called about strong women characters, and it was talking about movies, but it's sort of like, I feel like movies and TV and theater all sort of have the same issues going on about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was basically what the article was saying that, like, I agree with, even if I haven't really, like, actively thought about it, but, like, you can't just have, like, the strong female character just to have as, like, an archetype. They actually have to have, like, a role in the story and a reason to be there, not just because you feel like you need to have a, like, strong woman.
Oh, totally. In the play.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like she doesn't need to be someone who is, like I was saying before, like, out just for herself and totally, like, selfish and, like, stepping on everyone else and, like, you know, being, like battle axe, kind of, which is one of those words that's, like, awful. But, yeah, just sort of is active and doesn't just have things happen to her, but actually makes things happen.
Yeah, I like that. That's, I mean, because that shows agency. It's not like, you know, she can just be affected, you know? Right.
And a lot of times I feel like even when there is, like, a woman as the main character, she ends up being passive, and I've struggled with that in, like, my own writing because I had, like, the play I wrote for my thesis in grad school had, like, a young woman as the main character, and for some reason, I was like, no, she's totally strong, what are you talking about? And I'm, like, it took a while for me to, like, get it to a place where I thought that she was finally, like, coming across the way that I wanted her to.
Yeah, like, what, so. I don't know, can you speak more to that? That's really interesting, like, that she, you know, you wanted her to be strong, but for some reason it really wasn't coming across.
Yeah. Part of the problem was, I think, that I was, like, loosely modeling that play on, like, my own family. And I don't know if in my head, if I was making the main character, if she, like, did something to upset one of the other characters. It's like, oh, what if that's me being mean to my mother or brother or something? And it's like, no, that's, like, not it at all. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sort of that, like, I think I had this full picture of who she was in my head, and then for some reason in the play she kept falling into that, like, shy girl role, and it's like, no, just get out there and, like, do something.
Yeah.
So, and to actually make choices and not just let the choices be made around her and adapt.
Yeah.
That's, so.
This is a weird question, but, like, when you're writing your characters, how do they make choices? I mean, do you feel like it's really just them deciding what is going to happen next in your play, or do you really feel like you're working together with them? I don't know if you can give me some ideas of that.
Sometimes I have a better picture, and I'm not really someone who, like, makes really elaborate outlines. Sometimes I'll just, like, jot a few things down But especially with, that's why it was hard to have the characters make decisions there, but
oh, sorry, I think it cut out for a second, especially with what?
Oh, with that play, I didn't have any sort of overarching plan at all of where it was going to go.
Yeah.
So that one was a little harder to get them to make choices. And then I had another play where I kind of knew the vague plot of where it was heading, so it was a little easier. Sometimes if I get completely stuck, I sort of think, like, what is the least likely thing this person would do in this situation? And just sort of, like, play that out, even if it's never going to be in the actual play itself. Just sort of, like, you know, what if she just, like, got up from the table and, like, left and just didn't come back? Then, like, what would happen?
So what does that do for you? Does it just kind of unlock new ideas? Does it...
Yeah, it, like, frees things up and it lets you see, like... Especially with that character, because she was sort of falling into that mold of being, like I said, like, the shy and the quiet one. And to just be like, no, what if she just, like, didn't do that? How would everyone else react? What would that change? And then from there, you sort of, like, get new insights into how they are.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Sometimes you just find yourself writing something, like, this line out of nowhere, and it's like... Oh, wait, where did that come from? And then maybe I'll just go with it and see where it goes. So
that's really cool that a line will just kind of come out. Will it sound like the character or will it kind of have a different sound to it?
I feel like that also depends on the play for me. It's weird because sometimes I'll be, like, typing and I'll sort of, like, hear the scene in my head, like, I'll hear them, like, talking, and I'm trying to sort of just type and keep up. And then there's other times where I'm, like, really stuck, and I hate it, and I don't know what's gonna come, and then, like, I'll write what I'll tell myself is, like, a filler line just to keep myself going. And that's when it sounds different or weird, is when I'm just, like, just have them say something stupid here, and you can go back and fix it. But yeah, no, when it's actually cool and I feel like I can, like, hear them talking in my head before I type it, that's when it's, like, fun and productive.
Yeah. Have you ever started writing a play and the gender of a main character changed during the writing process?
Yes, this is totally happening right now.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah.
Again.
So last year I started this play that was, because my boyfriend is, like, oh no! Ah,
oh no,
is it back?
Yeah, now we're back.
Am I here? Okay, good. Okay. Sorry. So, my boyfriend's a huge comic book nerd, and I started writing this play about a comic book superhero who, like, wakes up one day and basically his whole existence has been, like, totally retconned so that he's not married and, like, he doesn't have his kids, and, like, everything is just, like, different, and then, like, his wife is off, and she's, like, in this new, like, rebooted world. She's, like, a superhero, too, and she doesn't know him at all, and he's, like, why don't you remember me? And all this, and I got, like, 25 pages in, and was totally stuck in sort of, like, writing in circles, and I would hear it out loud, and I was, like, this is so repetitive, I just said that, like, 2 minutes ago. And I couldn't figure out, like, why I couldn't just push forward with it and put it aside for a bit. Then this year, I was like, you know, the real person who changes in this story is the wife. Because she's the one who sort of, you know, goes from, like, the sort of girl next door superhero's wife into actually being, like, someone who can save the world herself and, like, do all of that. And she's the one who would ultimately have to make the choice of, like, the family, the old life versus the new, or some combination of it. And I haven't actually gone back and, like, started tearing it apart yet, but I'm basically gonna switch, not really switch the gender of the main character, but sort of switch it so that she's the protagonist.
Wow, that's really interesting. So then you have 25 pages worth of like backstory on his side and of her side a little bit too, but there's so much more open for her now. That's
Because it was sort of like, I think I didn't know where it was going because the guy, I mean, I guess he like changes, but it was sort of like, you know, he woke up and he didn't know what was going on and then he figures out what's going on and that's it. And like, you know, and like the woman's story was just going to be like so much more interesting and it was sort of like, that's who this story is about.
Hmm.
So.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool that's really happening. And that didn't happen
before, but that was really cool that it worked out. Hopefully. Haven't written it yet.
Was that time that you put it aside just really crucial for that to, that idea to happen? I don't know.
I think for me it is. I know other writers can just keep, like, pushing forward with something and, like, hack away at it. But, like, sometimes if I'm just too wrapped up in it, I need to, like, just sort of let it sit over there and work on something else. And then something will come to me and, like, just this, like, random back part of my mind. And I always visualize it as, like, right here. And I don't know why. But and then, oddly enough, a lot of times if I'm just, like, taking a shower and, like, not thinking, like, it will be like, oh, that's what I need to do.
Hmm.
And yeah, so for me, I think it is just, like, having it not be my total focus. Sometimes sort of, like, lets it sit, and then out of nowhere, it will be like, oh, that's what I should do.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's really cool. If or when, during the writing process, do you start thinking about the audience? Do you feel that you write for a certain audience?
I think you sort of always have, because, you know, you write it because you want it to be staged and you want people to see it, but then you also don't want to think, you know, get trapped in that. What if people don't like this? What if it, you know, makes people mad? It's like, well, then good, because they'll have something to talk about. So, but then, like, that's been hard for me, because I was always the type of person who, like, didn't want to make other people mad because I want them to like me, and that's, like, ridiculous, because there's always going to be people who hate your work no matter what, and there's going to be people who like it no matter what, and, yeah, I guess I try not to let the idea of, like, a future audience seeing it affect the story and what I write, but as far as, like, the pacing and even random things like how many characters there are and, like, what type of stage it would likely play on, that's, like, even just the, like, setting, not the setting, but, like, the physical setting on the stage is something that, like, I've learned you kind of have to take into account, at least as a new writer.
Why is that? That's interesting. Like,
it's frustrating.
Yeah. Why is that that you have to do that?
Basically, because when you're a brand new writer, the most likely chances of production that you have are with, like, these small fringe companies, and their stages are usually, you know, wherever they can find them. A lot of them don't even have, like, a resident theater where they perform. And so, like, basically your shows have to fit that theater because the houses with the big stages probably can't take a risk on someone who has never had, like, a full-length production go up or has only had one in, like, a tiny little...
Yeah. Does that limit you creatively if you have to play it towards a space?
In some ways, it can be really cool, because especially if you have, like, a specific theater in mind, or if you think, like, oh, this could work here, because I saw this show here, and what they did was really cool, just things like that, then you can, like, sort of visualize the space.
Mm-hmm.
In other ways, like, my family play that I had said I wrote in grad school, and this is when I was just learning all of the mechanics of how staging a play outside of college, where they have, like, budget and student actors that they don't have to pay and things like that. That show had 6 characters and a set that is 2 levels. So that's kind of like probably not the smartest idea, but you also have to like tell yourself, like, if this is the best way for the story to be told, just do it and it will find a home somewhere. So, and then I was just thinking as I wrote it, like, practically, like, the theater that we had all our classes in, their back theater has, like, this little sort of, like, alcove up the top where, like, the show they were doing that year actually had a second floor up there, and I was like, oh, see, small theaters can totally, like, make something work depending on what they have available, so.
Yeah. You said also about characters, about writing things with...
Yeah, like the number of characters.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's really sad now, but basically, like, 4 characters is, like, a, like, bigger show if you're not writing a musical.
Wow.
Because of having to, like, pay them and all of that. But I did have one woman who I worked with at, like, a mid-size theater in Boston was saying that sometimes there's not a huge difference between, say, 4 and 6, because what they can do is have, like, 4 equity actors and 2 non-equity who don't get paid as much, which I feel bad, but then, like, you know, things like that. But then if you want to have, like, 8 characters and, you know, a really crazy elaborate set, that's probably going to be challenging, and it's just sort of stuff you have to keep in mind. But then it's also, the other side of that is, I do feel like if a show is, like, strong enough and a director or a theater, like, believes in it strongly enough with you two that, like, you find a way to make it work. Because, like, she was even saying, she read this play where basically Thanksgiving dinner was served on stage and gets totally trashed and torn apart every single night. And she's like, and that show is, like 8 to 10 people or something crazy. And she was like, that'll find a home somewhere because it's just so good. So. Yeah.
And has there ever been, I don't know, an idea for a play that you thought it was going to have a lot of characters, so you didn't pursue it, or you had to sort of change your idea about it?
I feel like I'm getting a little better as I go on, like, trying to know what will work on the stage. I know when I first started, I ended up with stuff that had, like 12 characters in it, and then it was just, like, that's not gonna work at all. And it was one of those things where, like, it didn't need 12, and I was just, like, brand new at the whole writing thing, and it was, like, if I went back to that script now, which I haven't because I don't want to look at it, but I could probably, like, cut that in half easily. And but, like, I don't know, I feel like definitely if a show needed that many, I wouldn't let that hold me back from writing it just because, like, of worrying about, like, production space.
Yeah.
But it would also be, I would think, easier to write that show after having had a couple, like, 3 or 4 character things up and sort of building a sort of name for yourself.
Yeah. 'Cause I'm,
oh, she did that, and that was really cool, so, yeah.
So people would kind of, I don't know, it gives you, you'd have a little bit of credibility, I guess, of just, like, you've
done more. Yeah, and theaters will be more willing to take a risk on someone who has, like, a little bit of a name, because that's the thing, they never make money on new plays, which is sad. So basically, theaters will only do, I mean, unless they're, like, totally devoted to new plays, which some of them are, and that's really cool, but then other theaters will maybe do, like, 1 out of their season, or 1 or 2, and there's new plays, and then there's new plays by new writers. So it can be hard.
Yeah, that's a good distinction, new plays and new plays by new writers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that when you see seasons, that the plays that are new works are by a majority writers that you already knew? Or do you think it's a balance?
I think it's a pretty good balance. I do feel like a lot of the new plays I've seen are names that I've seen around town. But I also think there's, like, a lot of talent, even just here in Boston, and that, you know, I graduated from the MFA at BU in 2011, and I feel like it's gotten better since then. Like, the number of opportunities for new writers. There's been, like, a couple new theater companies that have come up, and the Boston Playwrights Theater, where I went to school, they, like, do usually three shows now instead of just two, and they're, like, all new writers. So
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, there's been a lot more, and that's really cool because I feel like I graduated at, like, a really good time. So, and there's more even just for, like, getting staged readings up that I don't think there was as much before, and that's really good. So, yeah.
Do you, I guess I sort of already asked you this a little bit, but what kind of theater do you think is the easiest to get produced? Do you ever feel pressured to create plays that fit in with this mold?
I think it sort of depends on where you're sending your work, because theaters have different personalities, kind of, and it's sort of like, like, the one that I have with, like, the comic book character might be really great for this one theater, but another theater might not do it because they do more, like, drama, or if they do comedy, it's less, like, fantasy-ish, you know what I mean? So, just sort of things like that versus what's more successful. I know with, like, short play festivals, like 10-minute plays and stuff, it seems like comedies have more luck than dramas. So if I write short plays, they're more commonly comedies because I've had more success with them. But I also like to take the shorter plays to sort of play around with different styles that I haven't done in full lengths.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice because a shorter play, that really does give you the flexibility to try new things.
Right.
But so, yeah, what do you think that, like, why do you think that comedy is just sort of a little bit easier to be?
I feel like in the, like, short form festivals, it just seems like audiences go for the comedy more. And I also think it's, I mean, comedy is also really hard to write, and I've, like, driven myself crazy with it, but to do, like, a drama in 10 minutes is, like, really hard.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I did a couple of mine were dramas, and they were the type that, like, it felt like if I wanted to make them longer, it easily could. So, I don't know. And then I actually read for a one-act festival last year, and I'm going to do it again this year, but I don't know how this year will pan out, but last year it seemed like the plays that were chosen skewed heavily to, like, the dramas versus the comedies, so that was interesting. And they were a little longer, they were more like half-hour shows, not 10-minute, but that was cool because I usually see the, like, exact opposite.
That's really cool. That was different. Yeah. Are there characters or plays that you still haven't found a place for? Are there outside forces that have prevented you from writing these characters or plays?
Haven't found a place for, as in, like, haven't been able to write yet, or haven't found, like, a good theater to submit to?
Both, either, all.
I have one that's kind of along the lines, not along the lines, but sort of in the same world as the comic book one that I've been wanting to write, and I just can't figure out what the story is, and that is more about, like, the sort of, like, arcade era of video games. And all of those old games, and I'm sounding like such a total nerd now, but because, like, they only had a limited, like, I don't know, hard drive. That's not the right word. But, like, basically they only had, like, so much memory they could program, so when you get to a certain level in the game, it just, like, the screen, like, goes crazy on you, and the game, like, stops working because whatever algorithms they use just, like, break down. Like, if you get high up enough in Pac-Man, half the screen turns to, like, scrambled characters, and wow. You, like, can't play anymore. Yeah, and that's called a kill screen, which was my working title for this thing that isn't written yet. And I don't know, it's just sort of like, I need to figure out what the story is. I just wanted to play with something with that thing of, like, never being able to, like, finish. And, like, when you get close to it, the world sort of, like, breaks down. But it would be funny, it wouldn't be, like, sad. And for some reason, that one, like, the comics one, I sort of stumbled into having the female protagonist, but the video games one, I wanted to have a woman as the lead for, like, since I thought of that one, because, like, I feel like everything that's about something, like, nerdy or sci-fi or fantasy, it's always a male lead.
Yeah.
And I want to do something where the girl can like the video games and not just be, like, the girlfriend of the guy who does.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Totally. Yeah. So what has sort of stopped you from writing it, if anything?
It hasn't been the not knowing where it would have a home, though that is, like, part of it, because then you also have to find, like, who's gonna do a play about, like, video games, because that's weird. But, yeah, just not knowing what the story is beyond that, like, sort of having a faint grasp of who the characters are, but not knowing, like, what their path is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do just have to, like, sit down and work with it, because I do want to get it written, and it's been driving me crazy. There was one play that was sort of, like, loosely based on or inspired by a true story that I sort of had, like, ticking around in my head for a while, and I didn't know when that was going to get written. And then I ended up doing, you know, New Rep Theater in Watertown?
Yeah.
I did their New Voices Fellowship Program, and that just sort of, like, was the perfect opportunity to be able to write, like, that play, because I had, like, you know, time set aside where, like, I had to workshop it on this day, and they would bring in actors, and I was like, this is the best way to sort of feel out that world.
Yeah, that's really cool. So did that help at all?
That helped a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, I knew it was something I really wanted to write, and I just, like, was sort of lost about where to start, and having, you know, the other writers there, and then the support of the actors and everything, and the theater, just sort of let it grow from the vague little thoughts I had into something that made sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that helped a lot.
Do you feel like that's, I don't know, is that the best way that you can develop something, is if you see it on stage with actors, or do you think it's...
For me, at least, anyway, and I feel like probably lots of writers in the beginning, I like to just sort of, like, write what I have, but then I want to be able to, like, bring it in and hear it, like, almost as soon as possible, like, before it's even a complete draft, and, like, just sort of hear it and then get a sense of, like, what it's sounding like. And then sometimes, like, actors will do something with the line that, like, I wasn't hearing in my head, and it can give you a whole new insight of, like, who this person is or, like, how it's coming across. And yeah, for me, just having that, like, development step from the beginning is, like, so valuable. But then there's also other times where, like, you're hearing, like, a couple scenes out loud and you want to go back and fix it, but you also really want to, like, keep going till the end, so then you sort of have to, like, take notes on what you think and then just, like, write the rest and then go back.
Yeah. 'Cause
you get caught up being like, no, this has to be perfect, and it's not going to happen the first time ever.
So this is a hard question, but what would gender parity in the theater look like to you?
Ooh. That's hard to put into words.
Yeah. I went to a meeting about gender parity, and we were all kind of trying to define it.
Did you go to the Boston one? Yeah. I wanted to go to that. I forget what it was. I think it might have been, I don't know. But I know I had some family thing that day, and I've been wanting to watch the tape. They taped it for New Play TV, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't at that one, but I was at the second meeting.
Okay. Right, yeah.
And we were basically trying to define like our objectives for the task force, and it was really hard because everybody sort of had their own definition of little things that they were putting in to equal gender parity.
Yeah.
And I guess I just sort of, you know, want to dig in deeper with what that means exactly. So I guess as a playwright, I wanted to sort of know for you what that would mean.
I guess it would mean, like, I don't know, because when I first came into writing for theater, I think I was a little naive and like, oh, theater, you know, loves everyone and they love people who are, like, different and, like, less mainstream and they'll, you know, be, like, forward-thinking and all this. And then you, like, hear all these awful statistics about, like, how many less women get produced, or, like, I think it's in the book Outrageous Fortune, where that's the awful stat of when they did some study where they submitted scripts to theaters with, like, a male name on the cover page, and the same exact scripts with, like, a female name, and the male ones got more positive responses. And that's just, like, you know, it was, like, shocking in the beginning to be like, this is like this in theater, and theater is supposed to be this, like, really ahead of the time. Yeah. So I guess it would be, like, where I feel like I could submit something and, like, well, no, because I don't want to sound like, it's going to sound like mean to theaters, and I don't mean that.
No, but don't, like, yeah.
Yeah, so I could submit something, and it wouldn't matter whose name was on the cover page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just be, like, the work, or, like, I wouldn't have to worry if, like, it was, like, a play with, like, a bunch of women in it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. Are you conscious of that, of how many women characters are in your plays?
A little bit. I think more now than I was a couple years ago, just because of all this talk that's come up. And it's like, you know, I wrote a 10-minute play once, and it had two guys in it. And part of it was that I wanted to see if I could write, like, two guys having a conversation and have it not sound like a woman wrote it.
Yeah.
So that it, you know, I wanted to, like, make, to just sort of see if I could do it. And then it was at, like, a festival, and someone said something about, like, oh, you didn't have any women in it. And it was like, oh, yeah. And then, like, you know, I felt bad, but then I was like, but this one is two guys. And so that it just sort of gets you thinking, and it's like, I do always want to make sure that there's, you know, strong roles, like, for everyone. And I don't want to have that, like, passive woman like I was struggling with in my early play. I want, like, even for, like, actors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many women I know who are, like, great actors. And it's like, I want to be able to write something that they'll like playing. And, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thank you for that answer, because it's a really hard question, but I really want to know what people think about that, so thank you for that.
Yeah, and if there wasn't, I feel like theaters try to, like, make sure, like, oh, this is our, like, female play in our season, and this is the African-American play, and it's like, if that wasn't necessary, like, if it was just, like, naturally good, a good balance. Right. And that people didn't have to, like, sort of earmark the, like, women slash minority play to make sure they have one, that it should just happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, do you have any questions for me at all? I don't know. I have all my questions answered, but if you have anything for me.
I guess just it would be really cool to see how this all turns out and what you, like, get from it. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So.
I'll keep you posted, definitely.
Definitely cool, yeah.
It's still kind of in the works about what I'm going to try to do with it, hopefully. Yeah. I am getting all the interviews transcribed, so that's
cool.
Amazing. Yeah. And that will be hopefully available for people to read if they want to look at it.
Cool. That's awesome. Mine's going to be like, blah, 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 crazy.
No, it's hard to record conversations, I feel like.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Really hard. but so that's definitely a part of it. But yeah, no, it's honestly just about like hearing from writers, especially just because I think the thing that I'm having a hard time with is all the talk about statistics makes me kind of,
yeah,
frustrated, I guess, because as much as it is completely necessary to know the numbers, I feel like it's really obstructing the voices that it's supposed to be supporting.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And, like, I was a little nervous going into it because I was like, well, I'm still, like, a really new writer, and what if I, you know, don't know as much as someone who's more experienced? And then it's like, that's part of the thing, is that, like, different voices, and yeah
and it's amazing that I mean you're my second interview. I just got started on this, but I you know already I can tell that I think everybody's gonna have a completely different answer to every question.
That's so awesome.
I
knew a lot of the people on your email, so that was cool. It's like, oh, that'll be a good group.
So much again for your time.
Yeah, no thanks, it was really cool.